16 teams from Australia to Zimbabwe are in the West Indies for the 2007 Cricket World Cup. The matches begin Tuesday, with first-round contests taking place in Jamaica, St. Lucia, Trinidad and Tobago, and St. Kitts and Nevis. Second-round matches will be held in Antigua and Barbuda, Grenada, Guyana, and in Barbados, where the finals will be held on April 28th. About 150,000 fans are expected to attend the 67 matches, of which six will take place on the little Caribbean island of St. Kitts, where denizens are reputed to be the most passionate of all cricket fans. But will the presence of the World Cup be a dream come true for the Kitticians, or will the smallest place in the world ever to host a World Cup match wake up to a nightmare? Judith Ritter recently visited the little island that thinks it can, and she has this report.
About 10 men and a couple of boys are spread out on this scruffy field in the back of some storage buildings in St. Johnson Village, known to locals simply as the Village. A few goats wander along the edges of the patchy grass, leaving an occasional dropping. One of the men swings his arm up in a bowling motion and sends a hard small ball toward a player holding a stubby flat bat. The batsman's face is scrunched with concentration. He swings, and he hits the ball as it bounces in front of him. The group, which includes a student, a sugar factory worker, and a UPS driver, have just gotten off work. Nigel Henry, employed at the local electric plant, calls cricket a livelihood of sorts.
I do love my cricket. I do love my cricket to heart. I play it every day.
How do you find time?
We have to find time because it's something that you love. It's a passion you have for it. It's just like a job.
This scene is typical. Cricket before all on St. Kitts. Now the folks on this little island, 23 miles long by 5 miles wide, have hit the jackpot. Six of 67 of this year's World Cup matches will be played here. The little villages in the main town, Basseterre, are buzzing with cricket chatter and preparations. In Basseterre Market, just on the edge of the harbor, a few musicians play traditional string instruments. Small groups of sunburned tourists spin postcard racks, snap photos, and everywhere, Kitticians are chatting, debating, or just waxing enthusiastic about cricket.
Smith from South Africa, Ricky Ponting from Australia. Who do you think is the better bat player?
Well, it's a hard decision because if you look at Smith, right?
Uh-huh.
Smith got this kind of technique.
Uh-huh.
There you go. They want to hit the ball all over the place.
Yeah, but I don't know.
11th grader Jesse Astafan is going head-to-head with Alexander Dorr, a merchant in the crafts market.
So, I mean, he has more runs. And, you know, he captained the team better.
Well, that's your opinion.
This is clearly an argument that can go on endlessly, like a cricket game. There are two kinds of cricket games. One that goes on for a day, and the other type of match played in the World Cup that goes on for, well, get this, 5 days. How do the fans hold out? Happily, according to Alexander Dorr.
If you love cricket, I'm telling you, every day can be really excited. If you're a cricket fanatic, it can be very excited. For me personally, they don't have a moment in cricket that is bored because I really love cricket.
And nothing made him happier than when he heard St. Kitts was chosen to be one of the countries to host the matches.
I was really, really happy. I actually jumped and, you know, probably even put my head on the roof. I was really, really happy and excited at St. Kitts. And what even made it more excited for me was the fact that St. Kitts would have gotten to host Australia, which is world champion, and South Africa, which is the second team.
I am getting ready to welcome the world with my famous Johnny Cake and Saltfish. I want everybody to come and taste and see that it is good. The best in the Caribbean.
That's Miss Beverly Moore. She runs Eat to Live Snackette, an eatery with a few startlingly aqua picnic tables and a propane stove just outside the crafts market. Miss Moore is happily bracing herself for an influx of 10,000 visitors who just might want a snack on her saltfish or her coconut dumplings.
Oh, yes, if all of them come, sweetheart, if it takes me night and day to feed them, I'm going to feed them until they cup full and run it over. I'm going to feed them until I can't feed them no more. And when they left here, or when they leave here, they will say, there's no better place to be than in St. Kitts. And there's no better stuff to get than Miss Mo Johnny Cake and Saltfish and Cook Up.
Feeding, housing, and entertaining an expected crowd of around 10,000 is a massive job for an island whose own population is just 36,000. Citizens have thrown open their homes to tourists, and the few hotels are braced for 100% occupancy. But nowhere is the preparation more painstaking and nerve-wracking than at the $13 million new Warner Stadium that the cash-strapped island built at great sacrifice for the event.
I love to touch the grass. I can sleep in the grass, actually. And if I bend down here, and you can actually hear the sound of the grass, lush.
Stadium manager Conrad Kelly stands on the edge of the verdant four-acre field of grass in the almost empty and almost silent stadium amid the smell of paint and drying concrete. Kelly, a hefty man with professorial glasses, is responsible for everything from security for the international players to the height of the grass, and he is one protective papa.
A workman, a painter, was walking right across the strip, the playing strip, and I shouted at him. I said, no, don't do that.
Kelly's passion for his grass is matched only by Katishan's passion for the sport and the sacrifices they make to follow the games.
Sometimes when the game gets down to the itty bitsy, our heart is beating like we are going to stop.
Lorraine Brown, who works in a local hotel, is a typical Katishan fan. She literally stays up all night to listen to the radio or watch games on TV broadcast from the other side of the world.
Sometimes we have to like close our eyes, move away from the TV because it's too tense for us to watch. Once I just jump up on my bed.
Brown, like other hotel workers on the island, is faced with the test of a lifetime, welcoming the world. At Shama's hideout, a hole-in-the-wall night spot in Little St. Paul Village, cans of sardines and bags of rice compete for space with domino players and cricket fans leaning against the tiny bar, watching New Zealand and Australia go head-to-head on a 15-inch TV screen.
Great shot, four runs, 21.
Taxi driver Dion Harris watches with me. He tells me people have reserved his cab for the World Cup games weeks in advance, but he can't understand why so few of his customers are Americans. Driving me back to my hotel, Harris is thoughtful and quiet for a while. He then issues a compellingly persuasive argument for the curative powers of cricket.
Well, if you have cricket, you know it takes a lot of time. Yeah, it takes a long time. Like, you can play up to 5 days. So if you have 5 days to play cricket, then you don't have to be in gangs or anything like that. So if it's played in America, I think it will cut down the crime rate because you'll have no mischief. Yeah, cricket is the answer. Cricket is the way to go.
A prescription for social harmony handed down from the British Empire to its colonies and now to us. Yes, it's a hard sport to understand and even harder to master. But as the Katishan saying goes, the best berries are on the slim limb. For Only a Game, I'm Judith Ritter in DFA St. Kitts.